you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon decaying, every foul wicked spirit is the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, Zander Olivet, on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
All right, it's Tuesday night. It is 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you're listening to The Ooze Luminous Edition. This is your host, Jason Sorrell, and tonight I'm not exactly sure what we're going to be talking about for the next hour. So if you haven't tuned in already, hopefully you'll tune in and check out the show. Got a bunch of different things on my mind. Got a bunch of different things I want to talk about, and not sure how I'm going to approach all of this. The Luminous Edition of The Ooze, a little bit different than the other editions of The Ooze. For those of you who are just tuning in, you're new to the show. Luminous Edition, we go through a whole bunch of different topics in an hour. We don't focus on one topic for an entire hour. We encourage people to call in. The call-in number is 347-989-1371. Now, the encouraging people to call in thing is not unusual for the other episodes of The Ooze. But what happens here is that I'll talk about a topic until I'm done talking about it. It might be 5 minutes. It might be 55 minutes. You never know. But if I reach a point where I'm pretty much done talking about it, nobody's called in about the topic, well, then I'm moving on to the next thing on my mind. So that's kind of the way this show works, whereas with the other shows, we might try to spend the full hour, full 2 hours. If you listen to the Outbreak edition of the show, if you listen to Outbreak, we'll try to spend a full 2 hours on one particular topic, although we kind of meander around. So the topic that we choose for the Outbreak edition is more a set of parameters for the discussion rather than the actual topic of focus. The discussion. So tonight, given that it is October 4th, and we've got 27 days until Halloween, until Samhain, or Samhain, or however the hell you want to pronounce it, I thought we'd kind of talk about what might be going on this October, what kind of things that people who listen to this show, who kind of check out things on the internet that I'm involved in, what they might be interested in. And Halloween's a big deal to these folks. Whether you call yourself a Satanist, whether you call yourself a member of the Left-Hand Path, whether you could call yourself just a individualistically leaning intellectual, whatever it is you call yourself, Halloween tends to be an interesting holiday for us. It's always been my favorite holiday, and I'm not sure I can explain why. I mean, you know, Thanksgiving, Gluttony Day, as I like to call it. You get to, you know, eat as much as you want to eat, the food you want to eat, whatever, especially if you're the one preparing the food, which, you know, having reached adulthood, that tends to be the way it works in my house. Every dish that I possibly want, it's hilarious because, you know, we bake a banquet, and there might only be four of us actually at the table, you know, or, you know, so there's plenty of leftovers and everything else. We burn through our grocery budget all in one sitting, basically. Notice that the chat room, the Reconnect server, is going, and okay, there seems to be somebody else listening to the chat room now. So that's cool. Phone number again is 347-989-1371. Anyways, I got to say, Thanksgiving, Gluttony Day is a big deal. Christmas, you'd be surprised that in my household, Christmas, we celebrate Christmas. We don't try to make given any pagan names. We don't call it Yule or what have you. We don't stick to necessarily a 25th to celebrate Christmas. It's whatever day we feel like celebrating Christmas. We put up a tree. We decorate a tree. We don't sing any kind of religious-themed Christmas carols, not because we're necessarily avoiding a religious-themed Christmas carol, but because they're just not as much fun as, you know, singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Last year, I actually had the kids sing for their presents. So for me, celebrating the Christmas holiday, it's not about celebrating the birth of Jesus or anything. It's about celebrating having things, I guess would be the way to put it. Celebrating our success is what I do on Christmas. And we celebrate our success by giving gifts to one another, by being a little bit more extravagant with our money and our time, and share with one another and our family and our friends. That's what we see Christmas for. And it's related, I guess, in ways to the pagan holiday, if you think about it. Middle of winter, the sun has been dwindling in power, and the nights have become longer and longer. And on the longest possible night, that winter solstice, to reaffirm that they have what they need to get through to the spring, to help bring back the sun, if you will, you know, celebrate the rebirth of the sun. But more to sit there and say that, hey, despite these hard times, despite this harsh environment, despite the seeming lack in our lives here in the darkest, deepest part of winter, we're going to celebrate with our family, with our friends, and we're going to share our abundance with one another. That's the tradition that I view Christmas in. And since everybody else calls a holiday Christmas, that's what we call it. But there's definitely not any celebration of a Christian sort going on at the Sorrell House. Not that that's a negative thing, per se, but it's just not something that we get into. And I think that idea is pretty important, the idea of sharing our success, sharing our abundance, and it's going to become more and more important, not just during the Christmas holiday, but throughout the year, throughout the season. And I've tried to be available to my friends, my family, the people that I care about, when they've reached out to me and they said that I've needed help, whether it's in small ways or large ways. I've tried to make sure that I was in a position where if somebody needed my assistance among that small cabal of individuals, if one of those folks needed my help, that I would be able to provide it. And that meant being a little bit responsible of self, being mindful of self, and taking certain steps to prepare, to be ready for that eventuality, for that need. And if you check out the Operic edition on Sundays, you'll get to listen to T.C. Downing and I talk about that kind of preparation, whether it's, you know, making sure that you and your family can get through hard times, or whether it's just making sure that you do have that ability to be of value to others, be of help to others. You know, not that is your main goal, but be in a position where you have abundance when other people have lack. That just seems to make sense to me. But anyways, and I was just comparing again these two holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. These tend to be the favorite holidays of other people for various reasons. For me, Halloween is probably my favorite holiday of the year. Halloween is an opportunity, if treated correctly, in my mind, for you to cut loose, for you to take all the social norms and all the social values and to give them up for an evening. You can put on a mask, you can put on a costume, and be somebody else. And that somebody else might be the person you really are inside. You get to express that individual self, the beast within, the monster within, to the outside world. And it's perfectly acceptable that one day of the year to be that monster, to be that freak, that weirdo, that kook, that whatever it is you are. On Halloween, it's celebrated. On Halloween, it's encouraged. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be that way other days of the year, but it seems that the majority of the year, we spend our times wearing different costumes, wearing different masks anyways. And it's the masks that are socially acceptable. It's the masks that we are told it's safe to wear, that it's all right, or that we feel an obligation to wear based on the roles we choose to play. We're limited in who we are by the parameters of our society around us. So Halloween has been an opportunity for me, at least, to just do whatever the hell I want. You know, 24 hours of, you know, doing my thing, being around family and friends, and getting a little crazy. And this, I guess, again, relates to the tradition of the holiday, the wild hunt, the jumping over bonfires, the all of that, down to the trick-or-treating, having the ghosts and goblins come to your home, and if you're not prepared with a sacrifice of sweets, well, then the demons will haunt you and torment you until the sun comes up the next day. I always found Halloween to be a magical time, a time of great introspection, of challenging and testing the self, and of celebrating life, of embracing everything about life that is naturally good, that is part of our natural compulsion. So that's where I am with Halloween. That's why October has always been a particularly interesting month for me, a particularly important month for me. And I just noticed somehow in the chat room, I have actually been logged out, but there's somebody else in the chat room, and it might be me. And I think what happened here when the computer or Blog Talk Radio reset itself, the ooze went away. The ooze is the idea in the chat room, and then another ooze popped back in. It was me again, my ghost or my shadow in the chat room, a little digital my digital doppelganger basically popped in, and then when the system tried to correct itself again, well, the doppelganger was all that was left. So, but if I, 347-989-1371, that's the call-in number. And I'm going to be talking about for a little bit here my plans for this October. Every year, it's a little bit different as far as Halloween plans. Halloween happens to be the night that my girlfriend of 8 years and I actually got together. We met at a Halloween, well, we didn't meet at a Halloween party, but it was at a Halloween party that we actually expressed our interest in one another. And it's kind of a weird story, a little exciting. There's a little bit of adventure to the story. There's a little bit of romance to the story. Kind of a kooky way to get together and everything else. But it was that party at a friend's house that my girlfriend and I let it be known to one another that we had interest, that we were desirous of one another. And it happened, I guess, to start with me being at the front door. These are my friends, Eric and Angel. And Eric and Angel, Eric's a prominent author and artist now. He's a member of Church of Satan. And Angel, deeply into witchcraft, things like that. And they decided they were going to have this big Halloween party at their house, a big to-do. And they were inviting all their friends. And it was impressive, the number of people that were in this house. And they'd had Halloween parties before, but this was a particularly special Halloween party for them because they were going to have a hand fasting. My girlfriend, Jamie, actually, who was, I don't know if she is still now, but she was a registered, she was able to do weddings, basically. But she had whatever license or whatever was required to perform those kinds of rituals. So she had was coming there to actually perform this hand fasting, this ritual. And I don't want to call her a priest or a priestess or something like that because I don't think there was anything to that. But she may have actually had the title, I don't know, reverend or something. She, you know, some sort of clerical title is what she had. And the party was supposed to be a dry party, which was odd because half the people there were my people, were my friends, were the circles that I traveled in. And alcohol flows freely amongst these folks. So the idea of a dry Halloween party we all found kind of disappointing. And so we decided to, and this just wasn't me that decided this, but a bunch of us showed up loaded to bear with alcohol, with hard liquor for this dry party, for this hand fasting celebration. And we had a good time. We set up a bar basically right on their front porch. And when you walked in, you got whatever drink you needed before you went into the actual, you know, party room. And, I ruined it for Angel. So it was, I admit that freely, that it was not, it was supposed to be her night because it is kind of like a pagan wedding, and we kind of took all that away. So, my girlfriend, while she was setting up, we had a long discussion and a little bit of back and forth, and she ended up, Eric's studio was in the basement of this house, and I had made it, you know, clear, not, you know, not verbally or anything else, but I made sure she noticed that I was going down to the basement by myself to check out Eric's latest works of art. And she found her way downstairs, and that's kind of how we kicked it off. So Halloween again, special night for me, special night to my anniversary. This October, and every October that this comes, you know, every October, I try to find something special to do. We try to find something unique to do. The first year or so that we were down here in Austin, it was we went trick-or-treating with our toddler at the time. She's now six, so that was our to-do. We've had, I think last year, we went and actually decorated the front doorway to our apartment and invited the kids to come trick-or-treating. And it was kind of weird because here at the apartment, there were a lot of children in this apartment complex. but none of them were actually trick-or-treating. It kind of blew my mind. So very few children actually showed up, and we went all out. There was years past where we'd been to parties and things like that. Then we went to, we did a thing where we actually were downtown. Sixth Street Halloween is crazy. I mean, just second to, third to Mardi Gras, second to New Year's Eve on Sixth Street for nights where it's just crazy. We're going to see women's breasts. We're going to see all kinds of crazy shit going on, and it's a good time. But the alcohol is practically free if you know where to get it and know who to talk to. So this year, what we're thinking is we're going to do that again. We're going to be downtown for Halloween. We're going to, she and I are going to rent a hotel room, and we're going to just be celebrating the entire weekend. Our friend Tim, his birthday is October 29th, so we're actually, Tim is Irish, or has some Irish heritage. He's from the Boston, Mass area, so we're going to be celebrating Tim's birthday. We're going to an Irish pub, and we already booked it in advance, and we're going to be, you know, drinking pints of Guinness and eating traditional Irish pub food. The place that that does this has just really does it up, the whole Irish thing. The restaurant is even themed for different eras in Irish culture. So, you know, you can do medieval Ireland, you can do modern Ireland. You know, there's all kinds of things going on there. So we're hoping that it's a really good time. And we're looking forward to all that. And then we'll probably, this is on a Saturday night, October 29th. So from there, we're probably going to walk around downtown and do more drinking and everything, because I'm assuming the party will be going on Saturday night as well. So it's going to be an interesting weekend. We're going to make a weekend of our Halloween celebration. The other thing we're going to be doing, I talked to my daughter about going to a haunted house. It's been a long time. My eldest daughter going to a haunted house. And it's been a long time since she and I actually gone out to a haunted house, mainly because, you know, I haven't heard very good reviews of the haunted houses here locally. But this is, she turns 18 in May. So given that this month is a period of reflection, given this month is a period of remembrance of both the past and the future, I don't know when I'm going to have an opportunity to do this again with her, because next year she'll be an adult, and next year she'll have her own obligations, her own things to be concerned about. So one of the things I wanted to make sure that I accomplished this month was that to make sure that she and I had one more opportunity to go to a haunted house together, father and daughter, and enjoy that experience. The last time we went together, it was a pretty good time. We had fun, and she still remembers it fondly, still enjoys it. So I wanted to have that memory again to hold on to as she enters into legal adulthood. I don't know if she's ready for it yet or not, but that's what's coming down when she's 18. My girlfriend has already promised to take me to a horror movie. I'm a big horror movie fan, but for those who don't know, there's even a blog. I think it's sorrellscreepshow.blogspot.com. I'm not exactly sure because I don't really keep track of that. Yes, it's sorrellscreepshow.blogspot.com. So I have a blog where I actually review different horror movies. And these are horror movies I either have had on DVD or I've watched on Netflix. On a rare occasion, I'll actually get to review a horror movie that I've seen in the theaters. So this year, we're actually, it's a good month, good year for me for all these, with all these different things going on. This year, we're going to go see The Thing, the prequel. The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing is probably one of my favorite horror movies, if not the favorite horror movie. It's one of those films that it just stuck with me all through childhood. You know, the scene where the guy is trying to resuscitate the body on the table, and he's got the heart pads, basically the electric pads. He's trying to, you know, get this guy resuscitated. He's trying to get his heart beating again, and hits him with a charge. Nothing happens. Goes to him with a charge a second time, and the guy's chest just opens up into his mouth and closes on the guy's arms. That scene, even when I sit there and I'm watching, I'm totally expecting it. I still flinch a little. I've gotten to the point where I just flinch a little inside, just a wince a little that way. But it was still one of those things that stuck with me. And then when the head, of course, you know, grows legs and walks around the floor, you know, that has stuck with me all my life. So I'm interested in seeing how they handle this new film, the prequel. And from what I've read, the people that are actually have done this prequel are giving it all the honor it deserves. They didn't do a remake because they considered the film the original perfect, which in many ways I'd have to agree. So they had to do a prequel. And it's about the Norwegian team of scientists that are in the Antarctic that at the beginning of the thing, the original movie, they're the ones chasing the dog into the camp whose helicopter blows up. They end up dying from that encounter. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes down. My girlfriend hates horror films. There was a time when she was a fan of horror films, and then the Nightmare on Elm Street movies came out, and I probably was the first film that actually did it to her. But the Nightmare on Elm Street film just put her off of horror films from that point forward. She is not a person who's easily made afraid by any stretch of the imagination. She just doesn't care to put herself in a situation where, you know, she's being visually assaulted by these different things. So the fact that she is willing to take me and go with me to see a horror film, that's a big deal. So I greatly appreciate that. But October, Halloween, I mean, it's about that kind of thing. That's what kind of bothers me about these kids running around trick-or-treating as princesses or whatever costumes. That bothers me about, you know, the pussification of our children, of our society, where Halloween is, you know, it's no longer about monsters. It's no longer about fear, the darkness, and the horror. It's about, you know, whatever, sweetness and light. It's about putting on a costume and celebrating the harvest or whatever bullshit that it's been morphed into. It doesn't make any sense to me. I've always resisted it with my children. You know, to this day, you know, I prefer that my daughters are going to dress up. They dress up as something more in the tradition, in the spirit of Halloween. And the idea, and think about this. This is what is empowering about this concept of putting on this costume. You get to be the monster. The thing that you would normally be afraid of, the thing that you normally fear, you get to be that thing. And you get to see that it's not really that frightening. You get to experience it and recognize that it's not really something to be afraid of. That's why, you know, the holiday is important. And I'm sure it's going to happen this year. It happens every year. The holiday itself is celebrated by less and less people. When it is celebrated, it is it has its balls chopped off. Let's just be frank. They don't celebrate the day at the schools. You don't wear your costume to the schools. If you go home to put on a costume and come back, you can't wear a costume that's too scary to the schools because you don't want to scare your friends. You don't want anybody getting upset. And then you celebrate the fall harvest, or it'll be the fall festival, or the autumn party, or whatever. It won't be called Halloween because, you know, and maybe it's because it's just too much a part of the Northern European culture, and we're trying to get away from that as a society. Maybe that's the thinking. I don't know. But it's being abandoned. So in my household, we fight tooth and nail, basically, to make sure that Halloween is still celebrated and the spirit of this idea, you know, is kept and cherished and held. As a kid, one of the best Halloween memories I have, I was going to my grandmother and grandfather's on my mother's side, my maternal grandparents. We went to it was farmland, but it wasn't something they were farming anymore. It was a few acres. And they had a forest back, or not forest. So you had a bunch of trees in the on the back lot and everything. And this is in northern Fort Wayne, outside Fort Wayne city limits, actually, well north. And they had a tractor, of course, and things like that. That's what he mowed. My grandfather's what he mowed the lawn with as a tractor. So that gives you an idea of just how much what size property they had. And it was a farmhouse, but the garage. It was a huge garage and had been converted into a maintenance station or something like that. They actually did small engine repair and things like that, and just all kinds of stuff. My grandfather was an amazing person with the different things that he was into and the different things he could do. They threw down a traditional Halloween masquerade. It was probably it was one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen. All the friends and neighbors coming out, all these different people coming over, bobbing for apples. I mean, you know, where would you get a barrel, an actual, you know, barrel or wood, you know, whatever it was, filled it with water, put the apples and everything in it, and you bob for apples, that tradition. And, of course, there was a hay, I don't even know what the words say, a hay cart, a hay wagon ride through the woods. And my crazy uncles had all gone out into the woods ahead of all the kids, all my cousins and everything else, in this hay wagon. And my crazy uncles were waiting out in the woods, making noises, beating on pans, and ghosts on ropes floating across the pathway and everything else. And it was just an amazing experience. So that's probably one of my fondest memories of Halloween. But again, it was a matter of, you know, this is an opportunity for you to cut loose. This is an opportunity for you to not be so, you know, stuck up and stodgy and restricted by the forms or formalities of the social order. It's a day to actually cut loose. So the whole month of October is something like that in my mind. It's, you know, where I go this month is to try to break away even further from the norm, from the different things that I do. So the calling number again is 347-989-1371. I guess I'm kind of wondering what other people are going to be doing for Halloween, or how they continue to celebrate it, if they choose to continue to celebrate it, if they see the importance in continuing to celebrate Halloween. So this year, let's see, doing the haunted house, going to a horror movie, going to be celebrating downtown with friends. We've already made the Facebook invitation to a bunch of people. Yeah, celebrating somebody's birthday. Now, I no longer identify myself as a Satanist, but this friend, Tim, he happens to be a Satanist. This is his personal identification. And this is a high holy holiday then for him, because this is the day he celebrates being Tim. So that'll be a big deal. And then, of course, it's my 8th year anniversary with my girlfriend. And we'll be downtown partying with our friends and then retiring to a nice hotel room and spending probably even November 1st together. Pretending like we were free people with no obligations to anyone else in the world, because that's a big part of it to me. It was a big part of it in my mind. So, but as I think about this month, I think about how, with the way things are going, with the way I see things coming down, that really this month isn't a do it this month and then it's going to be 11 months before you get to do it again kind of thing. Really, in my mind, it becomes more of a, you know, do it this month, get a taste of it, and then continue to strive for that every month, every week, every day. Continue to try to find a way to get there as often as possible, where you do have that freedom, where you are a free person. We can tell ourselves every day that we're free when we have to be at work at a certain time, and that we have to take a lunch at a certain time. And then we are home by a certain time. When we get home, we have certain things we have to do. We have certain obligations and certain things we have to pursue. The freedom we have is freedom in name only. Now, I understand that, you know, we have certain obligations with which we have certain freedoms, certain concepts of freedoms are secured by meeting certain obligations. I understand that. But it seems that the way to, you know, when we're talking about this on a scale, freedom versus obligation, freedom versus, you know, the requirements, the ways that were restrictions, it seems that the scale is getting weighted more and more towards the end of restrictions. And of course, the heavier the one side gets, well, then the faster it tips in its favor. So, you know, October is going to be that opportunity this month to just remind myself, especially that last weekend, that there are choices. And, you know, we can, you know, make the effort then to break loose from all that. So I guess, you know, I got 30 minutes left here. The caller number again is 347-989-1371. Something else I guess has been kind of interesting the last couple of weeks. The number of people who have either made mention of me as a prominent Satanist, or who have come to me to discuss ideas about Satanism, and maybe it's just that time of year, I don't know. As most people know, most people who are followers of this show or my YouTube channel or different things like that, I no longer identify as a Satanist. The philosophy of Satanism, I still hold to that philosophy in many ways. In many ways, though, I've kind of even separated from that. But there's a good part of that that's the foundation of what I do. But not so much anymore that I can identify as a Satanist. There are other things going on in Satanism that I disagree with, so that's why I no longer have that identification. And it's interesting to me, I guess, that having made this break, and I made it publicly, I made the announcement that I no longer consider myself a Satanist, I would no longer identify as a Satanist, I was moving on to bigger and better things, if you will. I make this announcement, and people, I don't know, for whatever you consider that, they look. I'm now getting more recognition as a Satanist than I think I was before. There has been, you know, on two occasions in the last couple of weeks, where two people have identified me as one of the most prominent, or among the most prominent Satanists on the internet. Which that just means, I mean, all that means, folks, that's not me tooting my own horn. It just means that I've talked about the shit more than a lot of other people. And when I have talked about it, people have actually been into what I had to say. They found it interesting. Whether they agreed or disagreed, they found it interesting. And there's a handful of us, maybe half a dozen or a dozen of us that are like that, where we actually care. We actually give a shit enough to express our opinions on the internet. So it's not a particular honor in that way. But it's, you know, it's just kind of weird, you know, these people who I would think should be saying, you just discredited me completely. You know, just saying, you know, this guy, he doesn't call himself this, he's not interested in this anymore, he's not a Satanist anymore, so we're just going to, you know, just ignore me. You know, but no, that's not what actually has happened. Instead, they're paying even more attention right now. But there has been some misnomers. There has been some miscommunication as I read through the different things that are going on and the different little messages I've gotten. A lot of it, of course, first of all, yeah, I recognize, you know, self-promotion when I see it. There have been folks that, you know, they see me and other people as, of course, a vehicle to promote themselves, because a lot of times when you put out a video or whatever and you're talking to or making a video for a specific audience, well, one way to break into that audience is to find people who are prominently, you know, listened to in that particular audience and to bring yourself to those folks' attention. And that's what's going on. And with one, you know, particular person, I made sure, because I dig this guy, I dig what he's doing. So I made sure that, you know, when he asked for my attention in his way, I made sure to give it to him. And I made sure to point that out, to make sure that other people, you know, to paid attention to this guy, for better or for worse. I don't know if he expected it to turn out the way it did. It's kind of interesting, you know, how things broke down for this guy. Now, there's another guy who I didn't call a lot of attention to. And it's, you know, frankly, because it's not that I don't dig or not dig what he's doing. It's just that, you know, what he's got going on, it doesn't really motivate me at all. It doesn't really attract my interest. So I'm not positive or negative on the guy. I'm just kind of like, you know who cares? You know, if he gets a little bit more traction, if he gets going with something, if something catches my attention, then I might take an interest. But for the time being, I just haven't been paying attention. But they, you know, they made sure to name drop. They made sure that, you know, they got my name along with several people's names involved, just to make sure that, you know, when people are searching on Google for these particular people, myself included, well, they will jump in and are on that list as well, hopefully. It's just been an interesting, weird kind of thing going on. And this isn't the first time I've ended up on somebody's list or whatever. You know, there's other lists that I've been on and everything, but like one guy was just cataloging different people. So, you know, what can you say? That's what you should expect to happen. There was a particular message, though, I got that I kind of wanted to talk about tonight. Let me see if I can find it here. The message had to do with just Satanism in general. And I think what was going on with his message is the guy, you know, he wants to debate an idea, or he has a certain idea that he wanted me to, you know, discuss. Let's see, he asked specifically, what was my aim, or what is my aim in adopting the satanic philosophy? Is it a way to happiness, the most true philosophy, or the path to the greatest potential? And he says he only asked this because he had problems answering this question when he called himself a Satanist. So he's basically saying that he's also, you know, moved on. Now, he had another comment on a video that this is on YouTube. So he commented on another video and everything else. And, you know, since this discussion was going away from the topic of the video, well, then I started, you know, moving away from that and actually hit him, you know, directly, you know, through the inbox or whatever on a personal message. And he hasn't responded. So that always makes me, that lets me know that, okay, this is a guy, another guy, you know, that might be trying to make a name for himself. You know, he wants to get into like a back and forth with me. I don't know if he sees me as an easy target. I can be that way, I guess. But let's get to a back and forth with me online where other people will see it. So as soon as you take the audience away from one of these people and start having a discussion with, you know, with somebody privately, well, then they kind of tend to lose interest. Now, let's, you know, I don't know if that's going to be the case with this dude, but he was pretty quick to respond to my last comment, but he has yet to respond to my private message. But I responded with the idea that Satanism is a philosophy. That for me, it wasn't a matter of adopting the philosophy of Satanism. And that's the impression of that message was, you know, that you chose to be a Satanist and then changed yourself to conform with that satanic idea. That no, instead, I had a particular philosophical outlook and discovered that Satanism, as per Anton LaVey, most closely resembled that outlook. So it was already within me, these particular ideas, these particular perspectives on things. And then in reading different things, looking at different things, you know, a lot of different things, a lot of reading and discussing and trying to figure it out, when I finally came across the Satanic Bible and Satanism, that's where it clicked. That's where I found myself going, okay, yeah, that I agree with, that I agree with. This all, you know, is in line perfectly with what I already think. So not having a name for that, this perspective, I now found it codified in Anton LaVey's The Satanic Bible. So it wasn't a matter of adopting it. It was rather a matter of discovering, you know, this thing matched with or ran parallel to my personal thing. A philosophy is a system or principles for guidance in practical affairs. So when this guy says, you know, is it a great truth? Is it a source of enlightenment? Is it, you know, the path toward perfection? No. That you don't necessarily have a philosophy for the sake of achieving some goal or some end. You have a philosophy just as a way of describing your way of doing things, a code, if you will, you know, for your a pattern to follow for your behavior. And sometimes you're more in sync with it than others. But it's not a matter of, like, it's the end goal isn't necessarily, you know, important. It's the journey that's important. It's the process that's important, the moving through the process. So, you know, this guy's perspective, I think, was a little bit skewed on the whole philosophy of Satanism or the whole philosophy concept. You know, if you have to have a philosophy, you adopt a philosophy because you're expecting a certain return, I don't know that I agree with that process. I think that you adopt a philosophy because it's your way of dealing with things around you. It's your way of interacting with reality. So I tell him, in other words, it's how I live based on the experiences that I had and the conclusion I've drawn. I continue to live in this manner because this particular perspective and its application continues to be the most consistently successful in my experience. Every once in a while, I go off the farm and try something else out. But that's, you know, that's what it's been for me. You know, in my life, when just looking at the way things operate, when dealing with other people, when seeing the way things go, and this might seem like I've had a harsh life, and you sit there and say, you know, it just looked to me like everything was very satanic. And that wasn't the word for it I used as a child or as a young man trying to figure these things out. It just seemed to me that there was more of a bestial side, that the natural order of things, that there were, you know, people were had a predatory nature, that that you had to be on your guard. You had to be self-reliant. You had to be responsible for yourself. Otherwise, you'd be taken advantage of. And there were people who did get taken advantage of. And instead of wondering often why these people got taken advantage of or whatever, it just occurred to me that, well, these people must want to be taken advantage of, that they choose to be taken advantage of. And that would not be a choice that I would make. But if it's their choice, if they insist on being taken advantage of, well, then it's just natural. These things just proceed naturally. They're organic in that manner, that those who choose to be taken advantage of are. Those who choose to lead, well, if they want to lead, if they can earn that right, well, then they do. If they can't, well, then they fail. They serve as an example that way to everybody else. So, you know, my life, I would sit there and say, as my childhood, it's had some rough patches. It was interesting, but overall, of the whole, it was a good childhood. I had a good, you know, I had a good life. I wasn't abused or anything like that. You know, what you expect to hear when you talk about people adopting Satanism or whatever as a philosophy. I never had an issue with the church. I never had a priest touch me in an inappropriate manner or anything like that. So I'm not angry at the Christian church or at God or anything. I'm just not convinced that they exist. And if they did exist, I'm not convinced that what they express is moral or just. I don't see the universe operating in the way that their institutions and their books and everything else suggest the universe is supposed to operate. So it suggests to me that it's unfounded, these ideas, these theories, this philosophy of Christianity. But I don't necessarily oppose Christianity. I don't oppose anybody being a Christian. As a matter of fact, I often look to lessons from the Bible for different things, different perspectives, different ideas, especially when I get into a debate, especially if I'm debating a non-Satanist, because that's one of the first, the fastest ways to disarm someone is to start quoting their own religion to them. And what do they say? That the devil even knows gospel. So I guess it's just appropriate. But, I just let the guy know that, this is a philosophy, what my ideas of philosophy were, and that he had me wrong on several points. And I think that's when people first get into Satanism, that seems to be, it's a common perspective that everybody had to make these adjustments. Everybody had to choose it and then conform to it. And they missed the point that Satanism isn't necessarily about conforming. It's about discovering who you are and then being true to whatever that is. Another gentleman who took the time to mention me in one of his postings, he made a point of saying that, he wanted to know why. Why was it that all these other Satanists are being listened to? Why? Why was it that all these other Satanists, that people care what they have to say? That why are they so engaging? And how is he not somebody to pay attention to? How is he any different? And he said, he pointed out that his difference for him is that he was actually doing something physically, doing something in the real world, creating an institution. It wasn't just creating a social network, it's not just creating a website, it's not just writing a book, but creating a physical, real world institution. And he was wondering how, why those of us who were, doing things on the internet or just talking or whatever, are not working to build that kind of real world institution. How he didn't merit the same level of attention, I guess, as those on his list, including myself. And it was funny because in another video, he expressed the very sentiments that I was just talking about with this other guy about his philosophy on Satanism. The very sentiments that he was pointing out was that, it's not about the process. It's not about the form. It's not about the rules and the whereofs and what fors and things like that. It's about you. And it's about what you want to do and how you want to proceed and what your interests are. So it's all about you and your standards. So when he sits there and questions what everybody else is doing, when he sits there and questions the standards of other people, well, he's missing the point, which may be why, not so many people are listening to him or what have you. So the call-in number again is 347-989-1371 if you want to call in. We've moved from Halloween and the holidays to Satanism and just some weird, things that are going on as far as my being a non-Satanist and the sudden upswing of people who are interested in Satanism, particularly my opinion on Satanism. I've moved away from that as an identifier. So we've got about 15 minutes left in the show. So I remind people that every Sunday night, and we've been doing this for, seems like forever now, because I don't care how easy it sounds on the radio, and TC is always impressed that we can keep this going or whatever, but it's a two-hour show, the Outbreak Edition, and man, it's two long hours, it always seems like, and we get through it, we muddle through it and everything else, but we're talking about taking action, we're talking about taking steps to deal with the system, the imminent system collapse. As I read through the news, I see what the news is going on, you can tell that, it's getting a little ridiculous. When you got a White House official screaming at some CBS reporter, then that's acceptable. That's not a concern. When Van Jones is talking about a Take Back the American Dream conference, and he seems to be all out there about, making sure that you are unable as an individual to do what you would do to, get the American dream, to meet that standard, that seems problematic to me. So there's different things going on. So check out that show on Sundays. It's 2 hours. It's at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check out the Ooze Outbreak Edition. It's TC and I talking for a couple hours. We take people's calls. Sometimes we even get people to call in. We've had some interesting callers, especially since we went to this new show topic. People calling in from outside our circles completely. I didn't know we were being listened to by that far range of people. But people calling in from, you know, from different social movement organizations, from different groups and everything, expressing different opinions, talking to us about whatever their political leanings are, whatever subject they have. And it's always funny, too, when they come at us, we're talking about distancing ourselves from the system. We're talking about breaking away from these systems, from getting away from even needing money, getting away from even needing a government, needing those kinds of things. And these people come talk to us about the reform of the economy, the reform of different processes, the reform of government. It's like they missed the boat. They didn't understand necessarily what we were talking about. And they're always taken aback, when especially the last couple of times, when somebody sits there and says, you know, we're going to get together, we're going to show them that, you know, they need to pay attention to us. And when we sit there and say, well, why would we want them to pay attention to us? How about we just get them to go away? You know, they're always taken aback by that. And when somebody sits there and says, you know, we need to start thinking about, you know, maybe even printing our own money or whatever, why would we do that? Why would we even need money whatsoever? They're always taken aback. So it's an interesting show, so check that out. I guess, you know, there's a couple of things I should plug here while we're in the last quarter hour. We're sponsored by the Satanic International Network, SIN, www.satanicinternationalnetwork.com. This is a network for what I would describe as free-thinking intellectuals, although it doesn't always seem that way. But you've got a bunch of people in this forum who cut loose, who do the very thing I was talking about at the beginning of the show. This is the spot they choose to do it at. And basically, if you're not going to keep your wits about you, if you don't have a thick skin, if you aren't into debate, if you're not into discourse, if you're expecting to go someplace and get instant respect because you give yourself a cool handle and you call yourself a Satanist or whatever, well, in SIN, you're going to be eating alive. So don't go there. Don't check that out. For those people who are interested in the challenge, those people who are interested in seeing some of the oddest things that you can think of coming from the Internet, from free-thinking individuals from all over the world, check out the Satanic International Network. There you will find videos. There you will find a live chat room. When I say live chat room, other forums have live chat rooms, okay, where, you know, you log in and there's nobody there. It's a live chat room. It's on all the time, and you can log in anytime you want, but there's nothing going on there. In SIN, the Satanic International Network, it seems like that chat room is on fire all the time. Video chats. And the women that participate in the chat room, they get banned on a regular basis for the things they do on camera. It is crazy. So definitely check that out. And express yourself, because you'll get some interesting responses. If you're wondering if your idea will hold water, if you're wondering if your idea has any merit, just bring it up in SIN, whether it's in a blog, whether it's the forums, whether it's on the wall, whether it's in live chat. And you have every manner of means of expressing yourself in this network. You'll find out, because there'll be somebody to let you know what they think of your ideas, right or wrong, good or bad. They will give you their opinion. And, of course, there's what I do, www.creativeartistudios.com, Creative Audio Studios, artwork, stickers, T-shirts, tattoo supplies, tattoo flash, tattoo design ideas, blogs on different things from lowbrow life in Austin, Texas, to horror films, to, you know, all kinds of different things going on there at Creative Audio Studios. Different books on topics like philosophy and everything, tattoos, how to sell your artwork, things like that. So check that out. Buy yourself a sticker. Make your neighbors afraid, that kind of thing. When you put that sticker on your car or whatever, check all that out, www.creativeystudios.com. So 10 more minutes left. So this normally what we do is we talk about different things going on, you know, current events, different things are going on. And I kind of want to talk about the Occupy Wall Street movement and the efforts that these folks are engaging in to basically just take back their voice. That's what I see going on. Because when you look at the Occupy Wall Street or any of the movements spawned by the Occupy Wall Street, whether it's in New York or Boston or here in Austin, Texas or California, where it's a bunch of people who are taking to the streets. And what they're trying to do is just, you know, they let people know that we're not happy. we're not satisfied with the way things are being ran. We're not satisfied with the options we're given. You look at the London riots, and you know, you can make the argument that the London riots were a poor example of the kind of things that these, you know, these kids that were taking to the streets, a lot of them were coming from wealthy families. A lot of them were just looking for something fun to do, looking for kicks. But this is spawned by social injustice. This is spawned by some police officers stepping across the lines, you know, and shooting at some kid in London. What we got going on here is spawned by the fact that, you know, these kids, even these kids that are in college, they know that when they get their degrees, that when they go to get into the job market, there's no jobs waiting for them. That the future that they've been promised for 20 years is not waiting for them on the other side. And they've done everything they're supposed to do. They've done everything right. They went to high school. They graduated from high school. They went to college. They're getting their degrees. They, you know, they're law-abiding citizens. They, you know, they've met their obligations as far as what they've been told by society to perform. And now they're finding that there's no opportunities, and that the people in power, the people, the 1% that hold the resources, don't give a damn. They, you know, just, you know, go flip burgers, go get whatever job you can get, and so be it. You know, so be it if it's not what you studied for. So be it if that's not where your expertise is at. So be it if that's not where you're trained in. You know, part of me says, you know, you go get that job. You get the job until you find something else more within your field. But this is coming from a mentality where those kinds of jobs actually existed. This comes from a mentality where that kind of opportunity was a given. You know, I grew up in the 80s. You know, grew up to, you know, became an adult in the 90s. So this new world that we're in, this new society that we're looking at, where 50% of the people are on some sort of, you know, welfare program. And this is just growing. This is just being encouraged. Where, you know, the markets, you know, are taking a shit because nobody has any confidence, not just in the government, but in the economy, in the future. When people are going, you know, looking at the whole American experiment and going, is it really still ours to control? Is it really still, you know, our freedoms? Is this really what, you know, this, the American dream, whatever it is? Have we, you know, has it really crystallized into this? And they're going, no. They're going, you know, I'd rather live in a tent in a park downtown and get my voice heard about whatever it is. And they're talking about every kind of cause you can think of in this place. Yeah, there's no one single voice in this Occupy movement. You know, whether it's legalizing marijuana, whether it's, you know, saving the environment, whether it's, you know, getting off oil dependency, whether it's, you know, fighting against solar power companies and stuff like that, you got it all going on. I mean, the Tea Party people are showing up, these Occupy movements. This thing that went down this weekend with the 550 people on the Brooklyn Bridge stopping traffic, impeding traffic. Word is that, and you get, you know, there's, it's coming from all different news sources, these different ideas, but word is that they were actually guided onto the bridge by the police officers. And then when the police officers had gotten enough of them on the bridge impeding traffic or whatever, then they started arresting them for impeding traffic. But they were urged to do so by the law officers there, and then that's when the cops came down on them. Now, these folks are out there to try to disrupt commerce. They are out there trying to disrupt what's going on. They want the corporations to take a look at, to recognize them. They want the government to stop looking to corporations for funding. America can be bought and sold. America politics can be bought and sold, and our politicians are just blank slates, and whoever fills their pockets with money fastest, whoever puts gold in their hands quickest, well, that's who that politician is. That's who determines the content of that politician's soul or being, or at least his political worth, his political value. And these people are speaking out against that. Here in Austin, I know that there's one coming up. If it hasn't happened already, I know there's one coming up where, you know, they want you to be downtown. And when this first came out, I questioned, you know, what is it you're going to be speaking about, what things you're going to be talking about, or what have you, and didn't get an answer. And, of course, because the point is just show up. Just be there. Be present and just be a physical presence, a number, you know, showing your distaste, your disdain for the way things are going. So if you haven't checked out the Occupy movement, I would recommend it. It's I think the website is www.occupywallstreet.com or .org. But definitely take a look into that. And I think it's aligned in many ways with the Anonymous movement, which is funny. The news media is just all about this. I mean, these people with Anonymous, you know, they might as well be superheroes. these vigilantes, you know, they're heroes for social justice, basically. They've got the media's digging it, and it's just crazy to see how they treat it. You know, they're browbeating them and everything else, and talking negatively about them, but they're still talking about them all the time. So, let's see. Got about 5 minutes left. If you want to call in, the phone number is 347-989-1371. And I guess another thing I want to talk about is Hank Williams going off on I don't know what new show it was, but he's talking about how Scott Boehner, he's a Republican. I think he's the House Majority or Senate Minority Leader. And for the Republicans. And he's out on a golf outing with the President of the United States. Okay? And they asked Hank Williams Jr., who's famous for, you know, the Monday Night Football. You know, are you ready for some football? All right. I hate country music. You know, I even listened to this guy talk during this show interview. I thought, you know, Jesus, this guy's a yokel. You're like, have another one, man. It's not even 9 o'clock in the morning. Drink another one, buddy. But he just feels total disdain for these reporters. And then at one point, they ask him, you know, what do they think of Boehner and what's going on? And he just lets them know that, you know, as far as he's concerned, Boehner being out there on the golf course playing golf with Obama would be like Netanyahu being on the golf course playing golf with Hitler, okay? And you could just see the look on one of these reporters' faces. It was just like he had smelled somebody shit their pants there on the set. You know, he could smell it. He was not happy because he can't just sit and just smell it, just deal with it. The other two reporters, they had bright smiles on their faces and everything else, so I'm taken aback, a little shocked, and they even had to ask him, did you just compare, just because I wasn't sure if you said this, did you just compare the President of the United States to one of the most hated, vile, evil men in history, Adolf Hitler? And Hank Williams Jr., he all but says, yep, that's what I did, ma'am, and I give a goddamn what your opinion is, you know? So it's kind of disappointing that he had to come back and apologize. I understand he's got a job to do. He's got a gig that he has to be concerned about. But you know what? If that's really your opinion, then stick with it. That's part of the problem with our country right now, is if you got an opinion, if your opinion doesn't meet the standards, if your opinion does not actually, you know, jive with what everybody else says your opinion is, should be, if you don't fit the obligation, the social obligation, well, then you shouldn't have that opinion. And that's just bullshit. That's one of the saddest, it's one of the most vile levers in our nation, moving people towards just giving up their freedoms, just giving up whatever. Well, you're not allowed to speak your mind because you might offend somebody. And TC brought this up. TC brought up some extreme examples. I'm not going to – it's not because I don't agree with the examples, the analogies he uses, but he's making the point basically that, you know what, you should have the freedom. Even if your opinion makes you an asshole, even if your opinion proves out that you're an idiot, you should still have the freedom to express your opinion. You should still be able to share those ideas freely without concern about, you know, actual backlash, you know, actually putting your job at risk, actually putting, you know, these different things at risk and everything else. That's where we're at in our society. So, anyways, that's the end of the Luminous Edition for Tuesday night. That's I guess I'll leave us with that. That's where I leave. Freedom of speech, do you really have it? Think about it. So, I definitely do on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I think it's what time this thing kicks off. Check out the show next Tuesday. I'm not sure what I'll be talking about, but I'll probably do a little bit more show prep and a little bit more ready next Tuesday. We've got more shows scheduled for you, so check that out. And make sure you check out Outbreak Radio this weekend. 2 hours of who knows what. All right, we're out.
Thank you for listening to the opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but this is the oldest question to come from. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is the Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk Radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?